Okay, if you have your Bibles, open up to Jude. Open up to Jude. Turn to somebody and say, we have plenty of time. Don't worry, he talks fast. All right, in the book of Jude, I'm going to look at one verse today. I'll read two verses. I'm going to read the second verse because I want you to know that God makes everything right eventually. But this morning, I want you to look at the state of the church today in the United States of America. If there's a goal, we're going to look at verse 4. We're going to look at what's going on in the church. And then we all have to check our hearts. And we have to make up our mind at Mount Zion Christian Church to do the right thing. So here's what it is. It's verse 4 of Jude. And it says, certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Then it says, though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would help us this morning, that we could hear what the Spirit says to our church. And that, Lord, Mount Zion Christian Church can be part of the solution and not the problem. In Jesus' name, amen. So he says in verse 4, certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. Some translations say they've crept in among you. These individuals don't come into church, you know. They don't come in with a red suit and a pitchfork and say, hi, I'm here to deceive you. That's not what they do. They slip in. They look like everybody else. They start gaining confidence in other people, with other people. They kind of blend in, and then they begin to introduce certain ideas. Look at your first point in your outline. God has warned the church that people with ungodly ideas will slip in unnoticed. You see, we can never stand before God and say, well, we didn't know, Lord, that anybody was going to come in, you know, and try to deceive us and mess up what you started. That's not what happens, but we've been warned. And so we're going back to Matthew chapter 24. And I'm just going to read a few verses. It says that it's from verse 4 to 28. I'm not going to read them all today. I would encourage you to. The disciples asked two questions. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age? Now Jesus gives some warnings. Jesus answered in verse 4, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and will deceive many. Is that a clear enough warning? Jump over to verse 11 and 12, all right? Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Mount Zion Christian Church, I want to stand firm to the end. Verse 22, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive you, if possible, even the elect. Don't miss that, church. Signs and wonders don't mean they're from God all the time. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out in the wilderness, do not go out. Here he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Church, we've been warned. We're not going to miss Jesus' next coming. As lightning strikes from the east to the west, it says, you're going to see him. You're going to know him. And I want to address that very last verse. It says, where the carcass is, where there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. You know what I realized when I read that? If the church is dead, they'll sneak in unaware and they'll lead us astray. Is everybody listening? See, the vultures will come in because there's no life in that church. And they'll peddle their false ideas, and they'll peddle their subtle ideas. We're going to talk about them in a few minutes. And then the church will adapt it, and the church will submit to it, and pretty soon we wind up where the church in the United States of America is today. And so we're taking heed here. Now, in 2 Timothy, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first 9 verses. Listen to what he says. Mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. Think of the ministry that Katie and Ben just told us about that they're in, and the abuse that goes on. Disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now here's the scary part, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind that worm their way into homes and they gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not come very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. See, Paul warned us, didn't he? Paul warned us. 2 Peter chapter 2, the first 3 verses. But there will also be false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce, listen, destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of the truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Here's the point, church. We've been warned. The church has been warned. We know what's happening. We know what the enemy's trying to do. They've snuck in. They've crept in. And they've introduced these ideas that are anti-biblical. They are against the Word of God. So they've come to deceive us. We need to know it. Now look at the next point. And I'm going to read the text here in Jude, all right? They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality. Now, I'm not going to go to a whole bunch of scripture right now. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look at the church. And I'm going to look at our nation, and we're going to look at where we're at and what things are like, and it will prove the text. Is everybody with me on this? So here's your point. Immorality will be introduced in the name of love and grace. Have you heard the phrase recently, love wins? I've heard it on the news. You know what they refer to? They refer to homosexuality, love wins. Same-sex marriage, love wins. Abortion, love wins because a mom has a right, doesn't she? And they say love wins. Folks, that's not love. That's behavior that will bring condemnation. It's in the rest of the book of Jude. But do you see how it's happening? Love wins. You know, the voice sneaks in and says, you know, you shouldn't, you know, you can't take care of a child, right? You can't take care of a child. God reminded me of something this morning on the way here, and it was so powerful. I'm just going to say it to you. Anybody remember Lady and the Tramp? Does anybody remember that show? And do you remember that they kicked the dog out because the dog actually protected the baby and killed the rat, but they thought that the dog was a threat to the baby, and they kicked the dog out. Can I ask you what would happen today? They'll expel the baby. They'll extinguish the baby and the dog would still be home. Good is evil and evil is good, church. And so these things have been introduced. I'm going to just go through a few. One of them I call greasy grace. I'll never forget this idea comes into the church. And I remember listening. I was in a tractor. I had just gotten saved. I was listening to Christian radio. And a man came on the radio, and this is what he said. He said, once you're saved, you're saved. He believed that, man, when you're saved, you can't do anything to upset your salvation. So he said, once you've prayed the prayer and you've given your heart to Jesus, now he said, you can live any way you want, and grace is bringing forgiveness, and go ahead and live any way you want. And I was yelling in a tractor cab going, you're wrong! And I went back home and I called my friend Norb Silking. I said, Norb, we got to get this guy off the radio. What's he doing on there? Why did they let him on the radio? And he said, Dave, money. He said he bought the airtime, Dave. I said, what he's saying is wrong. The idea has crept into the church that you can say a prayer, you can go to church on Sunday, but then you can walk out the door and you can live any way you want to live. And church, that's not true. John the Baptist said, bear fruit worthy, didn't he? He said, bear fruit. He said, even now the axe is being laid to the root, and every tree that doesn't bear fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. And somehow we've forgotten this stuff in the church. Immoral behavior. I'm here to tell you, I grew up in a world where if someone got a divorce, nobody would even speak about it. My mom and dad wouldn't let me hear the word. And now it's commonplace. We have signs above lawyers' offices say, you know, marital law. You know what that means? I'll help you through your divorce. Before I go any further, I should say, everybody in this place is going to be across the wrong line in just a few minutes, okay? Everybody in here. So remember, Jesus died on the cross to forgive us. We've all messed it up. So immoral behavior. I have to say this. I'm just going to close my eyes. I'm going to turn around. I don't want anybody to go, he was looking at me. Listen, sex outside of marriage is immoral. Okay? It's wrong. It's such a foreign attitude today. It's so foreign to the people. If you say that up the street, they'll say, who are you and where did you come from? And you're wrong. It's still wrong, church. Still wrong. Ty and Sarah, Mr. and Mrs. Ty and Sarah Lash, they got married last week. Congratulations, guys. Glory to God. You see, they obeyed God. They said, we're going to get married. This is the way to do this, you see. Be obedient. We've already talked about a little bit, same-sex marriage. Do you realize, I went online, go online, look it up and say, how many denominations allow same-sex marriage? How many denominations in the church now? I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about the church. How many denominations will allow homosexual pastors? It blows you away when you look and you see how huge organizations that call themselves the church vote that this is okay. And then they say things like love wins and we are inclusive. Yeah, all I can do is say, God, forgive us. Abortion. In the Old Testament, they took live babies and they threw them in the fire and sacrificed them to Molech. And we said, that's terrible. But what's going on today, even in churches? Even creation, huh? How many churches don't even believe God created? We try to marry, you know, a worldly point of view and the fact that God said, let there be light, and there was light, and we try to explain it. Folks, God created. He's the creator. You see, it creeps in. You see. Jesus is the only way. Jesus says it himself. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then we hear these things come whispering into the church. Well, come on. You know, what about these people? You know, the word, the buzzword to look for today on the church sign is inclusive. That means anybody can come in. It doesn't matter what you believe. We won't challenge you. See, if you don't trust Jesus for your salvation, I'm sorry. I don't think you're in. Here's a big one that I think has just crept into the church. God wants me to be happy. Right? So now you have permission to do whatever you want to do that would make you happy. And the heart is deceitful above all else, church. So go ahead, son. If you want to play in the street where the cars are doing 80 miles an hour, go ahead, be happy. Anybody old enough to remember Father Knows Best? Does anybody remember that? I used to threaten my children. I would say, I'm going to go buy all the VHS videos and make you watch Father Knows Best. Remember Leave It to Beaver? Right? Beaver was always being disciplined. I felt so sorry for that kid. He was locked up in his room for half the show. Man, do we need Dad in church? Do we need to hear what our Father in heaven has to say? Here's one that's really crept into the church that just drives me crazy. If you guys had just sowed some seed money this morning, see? Oh, God will bless you. Now listen, I understand what the Bible says. It says, if I am faithful and I bring my tithes and offerings, he will open the windows of heaven and he'll meet my needs. I get that. That's scripture. But where did all this other stuff come in? God didn't come to earth to make us wealthy. God came to earth not to make us happy. God came to earth so that we could be with him for eternity. Is everybody listening? And it doesn't matter how much money you have. What matters is that you have Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And these voices have crept in, you see. And what we're seeing now is what one of my favorite old preachers used to say. David, he says, you're experiencing the ravages of sin. How many lives experience the ravages of sin? And I'm here to tell you today, Jesus came to reverse the effect of the ravages of sin. You want to straighten your life out? Draw close to Jesus. Ask for forgiveness. Count on his precious blood. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and then God will lift you up. But church, wrong is wrong and right is right. And will we stand or will we buckle under the pressure of society? And will we say, well, I don't want to offend anybody, you know, because we need the people to attend, you know? I believe if I preach the truth, the people will come to hear it. I believe that the Holy Spirit will move people. Next point. You see what it says at the end of the verse here? It says, and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. See, just like the people that God rescued out of Egypt, the ones that didn't believe, it says that he punished them. They died. Their carcasses were lying in the desert. And some people actually sneak in and they really don't believe that Jesus is sovereign and that his word is true. So here's your point. Jesus' words will be treated as a suggestion box instead of absolute truth. Do you live with the suggestions of Jesus? Or do you believe what he says is actually the truth? Amen. It's the oldest trick in the book, folks. The devil said, did God really say? Right? He said, did he really say it? to which we in the church, the real church, has to say, yes, God said it, I believe it, and I'm standing on His word. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change. It's not a suggestion box. You know, I hear it all the time. Well, you know, there's more than one way to heaven. You know, what about those people over there? You know, maybe they've never heard of God. And I said, would you go ask them if they'd ever heard of the name of Jesus? And I said, once you've asked them, it's too late for them. See, but we're afraid to say the name of Jesus. It's a name above all names. See, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. And the church is afraid. One of my favorite country songs. This is God's country. You know what name they never speak in it? Is Jesus. They never tell you how to really get saved either. It's not a suggestion box. 1 John. All right, 1 John chapter 4. Verses 1 through 6, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Can I tell you something? You need to test everything I'm saying to you today. You need to go to the Word of God. You should read the scriptures I'm reading. You need to test it. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Folks, if he's ever been in the world, he's here right now. You know, you offend me with that name. I'm sorry, but you can get healed in that name too. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. We need to not forget that. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. Please listen, church. This viewpoint of the world has crept into the church. They've snuck in. They're whispering in between the aisles to everybody. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Will they listen to the word of God or won't they? Jerry Forbes and I took a bunch of walking sticks with the gospel on them, telling you how to get saved. We took them uptown. We sat by the walking path in Lake Geneva yesterday. You know what you have to do if you're going to do that? You got to have courage, because people are going to laugh at you. And we asked everybody walking by if they wanted a free walking stick. Most of them said, free, what's the catch? And we could say, no catch. The gospel's free. The walking stick's free. We want you to walk with God. And we would explain the gospel to them. Jerry got into about a 10 or 15 minute conversation with a guy. He had every excuse why he should not believe in Jesus. And I sat over here on a bench praying in the Spirit while Jerry refuted everyone in the name of Jesus. And he answered every question the guy had. And when the guy left, he's like, okay, man. All right, I'll give it some thought. You know what Jerry said? Pray with me. Come on, man. Right now, today's the day of salvation. If you're an evangelist and you want to get involved, take the card in the back of the seat in front of you, fill out. Say, I want to go out on the streets and witness. And I'll connect you with Jerry, because we're putting a team together to go out. And we're going to hit the streets, folks. And if you want an experience, go out there and hear what people say to you and how they reject you. And then every now and then, people will go, thank you so much for doing this, man. So what do we need to do? It's time to say, what do we do? Right? Action. Lights, camera, action for the church. If you're studying through Mark with us, it's about action. Francis Chan says, you got to do something. Jesus came in and he called people. He said, follow me. They got up. They left everything. They followed him. They didn't say, I'm going to think about it. I think God may have called me. That's not what they did. They got up and followed him. So what should we do? Here's the first one, very difficult. Learn the Bible. See, if we're Bible illiterate, then we don't know what's right and wrong. And these ideas can come in and they say, there's really more than one way, isn't there? You have to be able to say, no, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Here's another one. Well, what's going to happen to you when you die? Are you going to go to heaven? Well, I sure hope so. I hear that constantly. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. These things have been written to you, so what? That you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may hope when you die you're going to make it in. We have to learn the Scripture. Your phone will read it to you. I used to write it on an index card when I was farming. Folks, I got up at 4:30 in the morning. I went to bed whenever I got the work done. I did not have time. But all through my day, I could milk cows and meditate on a Scripture. I could drive a tractor and meditate on a Scripture. You blindfold me and put me in a cow barn, I'll find the right end of the cow and milk them for you. You see that? Because I've done it so much. Put me out in the world, and I want to think I know enough Scripture that I can lead somebody to Jesus. Are you tracking with me here? We got to eat, drink, and sleep it. Learn the Bible. Next one, are you ready? Guard the truth entrusted to us in the Apostles' Creed. How many people have ever said the Apostles' Creed, huh? I grew up Catholic. I said it every day, whether I needed to or not. But do you really believe it? Do you know what you're saying? And do you really believe it? There are disputable matters and indisputable matters in the Bible, and you better know the indisputable matters, all right? So I want you to track with me here a little bit, all right? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe it? Because a lot of times people are already off the boat. You see, they're going, well, I don't really think God created. You know, there was evolution. He created the first cell, and then everything started to happen. My Bible says He said, let there be light. See, He put the stars in the heaven. He put the lights in the heavens. He separated the water. Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Some people got bumped off there. I just can't believe that. It happened. I celebrate it every Christmas. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, died, and He was buried. Do you believe He died for you? He descended into hell or into the grave, and on the third day He arose again from the dead. Man, when I give people that wordless gospel, I tell them, if you don't believe in a resurrection, then you have no gospel, because Jesus is not who He says He is. On the third day He rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. If somebody wants to creep in and say, did he really? I heard He survived. You know, the swoon theory. He survived, you know, He made it. Nobody survived Roman crucifixion, folks. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And He's going to come again to judge the living and the dead. And the heresies creep in, and they've slipped in silently, and they say, I really don't believe in a hell, you know? There's not really a hell. I know Jesus only talked about it about a third of the Scriptures, right? He told us about hell. He was just kidding? No, He's not a suggestion box. He's absolute truth. Don't give up on those indisputable matters, church. There's only one way. It's through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And it's my prayer, church, that our church is going to hang on to this. And I believe we can be an example. And I believe there are other churches that are the same way. And I also believe if we continue to pray and we call out on the name of Jesus, that He will take the church in the United States of America, and that's where the redemption can come if the blood of Jesus is the blood of Jesus again. Last step, live holy lives. Folks, I remember what it was like when I became a Christian and started, I made a decision to live a holy life. My friend said to me, Dave, God is who he says he is or he isn't. You got to make up your mind and you got to walk with him or not. And man, my family thought I was crazy. I remember being told that the problem I had is I didn't have any fun anymore because I had quit drinking and carousing and getting into trouble. And my answer to them was, no, I have a lot of fun now and I can remember it the next morning. I got a minute, so I'll tell one more story. I was in a softball league. Anybody ever been in a softball league? You know what you do in when you're in between innings? You know, when you're waiting to bat, you drink beer, right? That's what you do. So I quit drinking beer because my little girl, she's 2 years old. She said, Daddy, that's your third beer. They're counting, folks. I quit drinking beer, and then I got saved, and I started to pray. And you know how guys are cool, and they kneel in the batter's box? Like, they kneel, like they're real cool. I was kneeling in the batter's box. I had this red bat, and I said, Dear God, give me the eye-hand coordination of an angel, and give me the power and strength of an angel. I walked up there the first pitch. I hit a triple. And my friends on my team all started using the red bat. They said, there's power in that red bat. And this is what they said to me. They said, that ball never got more than 20 feet off the ground and it hit the fence on the first hop. They said, man, that bat has some pop. And I was just laughing because I called on my God. See, church, live a holy life. God comes through. You won't be put to shame. Amen. I want my grandchildren to live holy lives. I want my children to live holy lives. I want my great-grandchildren to live holy lives with Jesus. We're going to end this morning with those last two verses in Jude again. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, come into your churches. Lord, let there be fire in the pulpits, the fire from the Holy Spirit. And Lord, call your church back to your side. And Lord, redeem us, awaken us, revive us. And then Lord, allow the power of your Holy Spirit to reside in us and to ooze out into the cities around us and into our nation. And Father, I'm asking you today for a revival, that Walworth County would be won back. That immorality would stop in the schools. That immorality would stop in the streets. The drug use would stop because the Holy Spirit would take over. And that people would actually go into the streets and tell others about Jesus. Lord, take your word this morning. Let it accomplish what you sent it in each of us to do. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 If you need prayer, we want to pray with you. Dads, don't forget the root beer on the way out. God bless you. Have a great day.